Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first event of the evening is a one-fall match with a 15-minute time limit.
There ain't nobody. There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit. And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Tuesday.
We are what wrestling's all about. New York City here, Chicago here, JD on my left, Linda on my right. But I'm not telling any of the girls who I'm going to give it to in Chicago until that night.
Tuesday, Wrestling. Tuesday returns to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. Don't forget to hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. I am working middays with Carmen DeFalco on ESPN 1000 this week, so I'm not doing the night show, our Under the Hood evening show, but I will give you Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, because that's what we do every Tuesday night, right? At 9 o'clock after SmackDown Live. I want to give you my thoughts, and we're going to hear from Dave LaGreca from Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM in just a moment. My thoughts on SummerSlam and NXT. First of all, it is amazing to me in Brooklyn, that crazy crowd at Barclays Center. What a terrific, loud crowd there in New York for these events. I am just amazed every time how NXT is able to knock it out of the park. It's just the better brand right now. And you think about how great the matches are all the way throughout. I don't think that there was a bad match on that particular card for NXT. You look at that from Saturday night, and you see Johnny Gargano once again taking on the NXT champion, right? And I'm just telling you right now, you look at Gargano and how he is able to wrestle underneath, and then you see Ciampa as a champion. It's just a great rivalry. I don't know how that can't be, to me, the match of the year. Every time that they wrestle, it's the match of the year. And once again, maybe a controversial finish, but actually they really busted their ass to give you something special. So I just thought that was just the great match. It might have been the match of the weekend, as a matter of fact, when you think about the NXT champion, Ciampa, taking on Gargano. I thought that the matchup with Mustache Mountain against the Undisputed Era, I thought that was terrific as well. I think that's a great rivalry. I think that is a fun matchup for the tag team championships. And I just think that Triple H understands exactly what the majority of wrestling fans really want. As I've said so many times in this program, NXT is kind of like the old territory days, except with money and lights. I really enjoy watching that particular brand time after time, because I just think it's a lot of fun. And so you also think about the women's championship matchups as well. I think that is fun. Shayna Baszler loses to Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane is a terrific performer, and Baszler is getting better and better. So I just think that that brand is terrific. I also will take a look at SummerSlam on Sunday. Of course, everyone keeping their eyes on SummerSlam and exactly, you know, what was going to happen there. Would Roman Reigns get over? Roman Reigns does defeat Brock Lesnar to become the Universal Champion. And, of course, it's controversial. There's a lot of moving parts there, but Reigns is the champion. And some people predicted that because Brock Lesnar is ready to go to the UFC again and train and get ready to be part of MMA again. But Roman Reigns as the champion is exactly what Vince McMahon wanted, but I just don't think that he's turned the fans in the direction of Roman Reigns, because people can see through this. They're looking for the next John Cena is the WWE, and they found that in Roman Reigns, and he's going to be polarizing. I guess that doesn't really matter in the long haul, but Reigns is the champion, and it's fine for me. because I'm a SmackDown person anyway, and I see AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. I didn't like the build for it as much, but I liked the matchup. I think they really gave you something special with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles as Joe wins via disqualification. There is a couple of these matches here with Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens, and also Ronda Rousey winning the Raw Women's Championship. Kind of some old school stuff where you had some quick matches. Strowman just destroyed Kevin Owens, just went right through him. And Ronda Rousey, really the hottest thing in the WWE, just destroyed Alexa Bliss in very short order for the Raw Women's Championship. I can understand why she's over. I can understand why people are into Ronda Rousey, because now it's not just one of these attractions where she's just on the big matches. She's on the road plying her craft, and you got to respect that. She's in your local hometown and going to live events and wrestling in tag team matches and trying to get better. So, you know, you got to appreciate that if you're a wrestling fan, that she's just not some attraction they roll out there like Andre or Brock Lesnar in modern time. She's actually working on it. So I thought that Rollins and Ziggler was a great match. They might have stolen the show, quite frankly, because I think that Intercontinental title match is great. I was not over the moon about Miz and Daniel Bryan. Not necessarily about the finish. I just thought that the way it was laid out, I thought it'd be a little bit more demonstrative. I mean, all this pent-up energy, and it was a wrestling match and somewhat of a fight, but not really. So maybe as they continue to work together, maybe Miz and Daniel Bryan can bring even more to the table. So I think it's just a thumbs up for the NXT brand and also SummerSlam. I think they knocked it out of the park in Brooklyn. And so let's talk now to Dave LaGreca from Busted Open. Busted Open takes place on Fight Nation, Channel 93, from 8 to 11 a.m. Again, on Fight Nation, Sirius XM, Channel 93. And Dave LaGreca joins us here on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday here on ESPN 1000. Dave, as always, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I love coming on, man. Thanks for having me again.
Could you tell me, Dave, what was the match of the weekend for you, NXT or WWE?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question because there were so many good matches. I'm probably going to have to say the Gargano-Ciampa match from the main event from TakeOver on Saturday. Probably be my personal favorite.
I just think that they just knocked it out of the park. You think that you can't lay out another match with these two, and then they give you what they did. I mean, last man standing match. I know some people probably didn't like the finish, but the point is that they gave you everything, Dave. They just put out everything for the fans. They had to enjoy that, right?
Yeah, and people are complaining about the finish, but to me it's the perfect finish because Gargano can't win yet. That's the whole story they're telling. This is like Raven and Tommy Dreamer territory. Like, Gargano can't win yet. Because once Gargano wins, then the story is over. And this feud is so good, I want it to continue. So I actually like the way that it ended on Saturday.
It's kind of a weird Rhodes Flair thing, right? Where Rhodes is chasing the championship. He's chasing it. He wins the title, and they're like, Oh, Dusty's the champion now. Well, now what? You want Johnny to continue to chase as much as possible, be that underdog underneath against Ciampa and just finally break through versus just handing him the title like we get so often in wrestling today.
Yeah, this story couldn't be told on the main roster. This is a story, at least in the eyes of the WWE, that could only be told on NXT because WWE has that formula of three pay-per-views done. This story of Gargano and Ciampa has been going on for months and months and months, and I don't want to see it end. And like you just said, this was just another chapter in the book of Gargano and Ciampa. And then you have other players now, like Aleister Black. Even though he's injured, he's involved in this story. So this is a beautiful, you know, professional wrestling storytelling at its finest.
I said this off air, I think last week, when it comes to the Undisputed Era, and obviously the Adam Cole Ricochet match is right up there among the top five matches, top three matches to me for the weekend. I like Undisputed Era. I wish they were cooler. Do you know what I'm saying with that? Like, you have a faction here that's working, but maybe they're going to have the time to do that, but I'm thinking NWO or DX in that regard. They only have, like, the limited interview time. You know that they're over with the crowd. Do you think that there's another gear with the Undisputed Era before they go get the call up?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, listen, they're fantastic. I think Kyle O'Reilly's like one of the best wrestlers out there, extremely underrated in the ring. But we haven't seen his character or personality. I think the only one that really has that type of flair to him is an Adam Cole. And he's kind of lost in that faction, especially now, because he's not a part of that tag team. Bobby Fish is injured. So you're right. It's been great, and the matches they're involved in are great. But you're right. It just feels like it needs a little more spice to it.
Thank God Adam Cole is in this era of wrestling, Dave. Because if this was like 20 years ago and Adam Cole comes up, Adam Cole would be eventually like, we already got a Cole. God damn it. He's got to be Adam Daniels. What is this?
Oh, my God. You're so right.
Two Coles in the same company? How's Vince going to be able to handle that?
Yeah, it's gonna be too much for him. Who knows? That'll be probably the reason they put Adam Cole on SmackDown as opposed to Monday Night Raw. We can't put him on Raw. Damn it! There's already a Cole on Raw. We're gonna have to put him on SmackDown. So you're right. This is definitely something that wouldn't have happened 15, 20 years ago.
He would have been called something else. Adam Daniels, baby. Yeah, that. I don't think, not the same ring.
Or they'll just call him Adam Bebe.
Right. Right. Exactly. That'll get some more merch. Adam Bebe. There you go. See you on the road 300 days a year. By the way, you're not gonna make SummerSlam. You're not gonna make any WrestleMania. And by the way, I know that from some of your callers on Busted Open, that's a major concern. You and I both like the NXT brand because it reminds us of territory wrestling. But what good is it if we get called to the main roster and you're pushed to the back? I remember you talking about sanity and trying to figure out, well, is it because that particular debut was in San Diego, or is it just because they're kind of buried on the card and not getting a lot of hype? Vince, as we've talked about before, has a different idea once these NXT guys comes up to the main roster. It's really disappointing to me.
Yeah, and like what you said with NXT, I love NXT, and I was there on Saturday. I don't know if you saw me. I was right next to Mark Henry. Mm-hmm. It was Kevin Owens, Mark Henry, and myself, and obviously when they did the stand up in between matches, they asked me to sit down and could you please move, sir? But it really felt old school. They do the ring introductions, they come out from their entrances, and boom, the lights go dim. The only light is the light above the ring. You know, the crowd is not lit. Like, really old school. And I think it works. I think it helps, because everyone's completely focused on what's going on in the ring. And I think that's the biggest difference between NXT 2 and the main roster product, is that the audience feels like they're a part of the show. When you go to an NXT, you're not part of the show, you're watching the show. And I think that really makes a difference with that old school feel, with just having the ring lit above. And you're right about the call-ups. We've seen too many examples of it. Bobby Roode, I think, is the greatest heel to ever come out of NXT. He was amazing. He reminded me of Ric Flair. He goes to the main roster, he's strictly a gimmick, and now he's in a feud with Mojo Rawley. You know, like you mentioned, Sanity. They've become enhancement talent. Look at what the Authors of Pain are doing on Monday Night Raw. I mean, they're getting beat by Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews that haven't won a match in 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I think as fans, Jonathan, we're actually nervous about any of the call-ups of the people that we're watching on NXT.
I'm sure the talent is too, right? You know some off-the-record stuff that I'm sure that some talent is like, oh, God, I'm getting the call-up, so that means I'm going to be buried, you know, on SmackDown or buried on Raw, like I'm an underneath talent when I've gotten so much praise by fans from NXT. I'm sure you've heard some of those stories, right?
Of course. I mean, and how could you not? It's there's too many examples, and you know, it's so funny because you're right. Like you talk about the talent, they can't wait to be moved up, and you know, I'm sure it's a bigger payday for them, and it's more exposure, and you're wrestling in front of more fans on a nightly and weekly basis. But man, if they don't have the right character for you, if they don't have the right dance partner with you, before you know it, you're just enhancement talent on Raw or SmackDown.
That's why I appreciate what Velveteen Dream did on the matchup against EC3. I think that was a very underrated match. I just didn't like his trunks because you don't want to get the wrong example. You don't want to say, call me up, Vince. Call you up for what? To get beat every night on Raw?
Be thankful what you have right now on NXT. You're right. If I was a wrestler on NXT, like a Velveteen Dream, they would probably have to drag me out of that place, kicking and screaming.
Absolutely. Let me be the champion first and let me get way over before you bury me on the SmackDown roster. Don't forget, it's busted open every day, 8 to 11 Central, Fight Nation, Channel 93 on Sirius XM, and Dave LaGreca with me, Jonathan Hood, on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday here on ESPN 1000. So when it comes to SummerSlam, is there an underrated match? Everyone's focused on Reigns and Lesnar and what happened with Ronda Rousey. Is there a match that you really liked that you thought was a little bit underrated?
And I hate to keep bringing up NXT, but it's a match that you just mentioned. That was Velveteen Dream in EC3. I thought they really killed it. I thought, well, Velveteen Dream's a superstar. I mean, he's just I've loved him since I saw him as Patrick Clark on Tough Enough. I mean, he just has a passion and love for this business, and I think he was made to be a pro wrestler, and I really like him. But I also thought that was a good showing by EC3. I really feel like he's coming to his own as a part of the WWE and as part of that NXT brand. And I really probably, like you, I think that might have been the most underrated match of the whole weekend.
Let's talk about something that you brought up on your show today on Busted Open, and it's a great point. And you talked about this whole thing from Monday Night Raw. I want to get back to SummerSlam in just a moment, but I just want to ask you about something that you mentioned about Charlotte Flair. I wonder, is Charlotte like Rick in that she'd rather be a heel versus a babyface? Because what happened at the end of Monday Night Raw, where Becky Lynch turns on Charlotte Flair, traditionally it looks like Becky is the heel. But again, you can't tell now anymore. I mean, the crowd was behind Becky for turning on Flair. But if Flair is the babyface and Becky Lynch is the heel, I think it would be better the other way because Charlotte seems like a much better heel, does she not?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. And we spoke to Charlotte. I want to say it was about 3 weeks ago. We had Charlotte on our show, and she said that she is more comfortable as a heel and she plays better as a heel. And I agree. Because she is like her dad. You know, she comes out with the flamboyant robe and the flamboyant entrance. And, you know, she has just that amazing athleticism, which is you respect. But I just think her whole persona just would be better perceived as a heel. And then if they want Charlotte to be the face in this situation and they want Becky to be the heel, then they completely played this the wrong way. Because to me, she's the underdog. So, you know, Carmella's the underdog. Mm-hmm. So you're obviously going to just gravitate towards the underdog. And then on top of it, Carmella is that heel champion leading into SummerSlam. The woman who was getting screwed week in and week out wasn't Charlotte. It was Becky. Plus she throw in the fact that Becky Lynch has always been kind of like, you know, in the foreground when it came to Charlotte Flair. To me, those are all the elements that would make for a great face moving forward. So them having Becky attack Charlotte, I think, was the absolute worst way to go. I mean, you could have Charlotte as your champion, that's fine, and have Becky chase. But to me, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to get that WWE universe to boo Becky Lynch. It's just not going to happen.
I know that you're not happy that Roman Reigns is Universal Champion because I was with you. No more Roman. You were tired of it, and now it happens. And you knew it was going to happen. He's going to be Universal Champion. I'm just wondering, is this era's John Cena in which he's, even with the championship, he's still not going to be appreciated? Is that where we're going with this?
Well, I think now it's like, and you're right, I was screaming, no more Roman, no more Roman. And it had really nothing to do with Roman Reigns. It really had to do with the fact that I was tired of this scenario. I was tired of them keep pushing him to be like this underdog challenging for the championship. And also, too, I just got tired of Roman and Brock. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a different story to be told. But it is what it is. He's the champion. But here's the difference between Roman Reigns and John Cena is what we saw last night to end Monday Night Raw, and that is that Shield getting back together. This is interesting to me because, let's face it, Braun Strowman would have cashed in last night and won that Universal Championship. What stopped him was Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. To me, that's kind of heelish. I mean, we saw three on one. When do you ever see three on one and, you know, the three are the faces? That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I think we're starting to see another dimension of Roman Reigns. And I also think that this is something that the fans want to see. I'm excited to see what happens next with Roman and the Shield.
That's why I tweeted at you last night, because after I watch Monday Night Raw, I go, well, in what world do three baby faces get on another baby face and attack them? Like, that's not, I mean, and I guess it goes to this other conversation that I know that you've had and I've had too. I just talked to Silas Young just recently, and I asked him, how do you perceive your character, a heel or baby face? He goes, it doesn't matter anymore. He goes, I know what I am as my character is. Fans understand what's going on. So however they take me, they take me. And that's just, I didn't like that because Jay Lethal also said the same thing. He goes, I don't consider myself anything. It's just, I just go out there and they appreciate me. But to me, still at its core, even in 2018, Dave, you have to be something, because that's life. It's what Dutch Mantel has said for many years as a booker in Puerto Rico and other places. There has to be a baby face. It has to be a heel in a story, whether it is a movie, just a television show, life. Someone has to be the bad guy. Someone has to be the good guy. There can't be shades of gray. And I don't see how the Shield can't be shades of gray. It's got to be one or the other.
I agree, because if you're going to get two shades of gray characters in the ring, then where's the emotional investment? Then you're just watching a match. That's like watching a football game when you don't have a dog in the race. Like that's like, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan, so I watch the Cowboys Redskins. It's an interesting game for me because I have an emotional investment. There's a team that I'm rooting for. If you're just going to have two guys, neither of them are faces or heels, all right, that's fine if you want to have one match that's just a Styles pro wrestling match. Okay, I get it. But like you said, pro wrestling's always been storytelling, and it's always been emotionally and getting invested into something. So, like, I'm with you. Like, a Jay Lethal saying that and a Silas Young saying that, no disrespect to them. Well, then, if you're not a face or a heel, then what's the story you're telling, and how am I going to get emotionally invested in it? I think that's why NXT is working as well as it is, because Gargano and Ciampa are the perfect examples. Mm-hmm. How many times in recent memory have you really seen a face and a heel like Gargano and Ciampa? Ciampa went out for that match, and he was getting booed by everybody. I mean, he didn't even need an entrance song. It was just booed.
I know.
Like, it was perfect. And you know what? I think that's a big reason why I thought that match was the best of the weekend, because, again, that match could have been a match that we saw 25, 30, 35 years ago. It's just, boy, Triple H has done a great job of just, like, using those old-school elements, and I think it's working better than ever.
I could see Triple H at the dinner table looking over at Vince. He goes, and after that NXT show, go, hey, top that, old man. And Vince going, all right, Strowman over Owens.
Yeah.
because that's his idea of a main event. That's his Ciampa matchup. That's him. It's unbelievable.
It is. It's so crazy how different those two shows are. It's amazing.
All right, last question. I appreciate your time as always. Is this, can you remember the last time that the WWE Championship was this cold? That TNA nonsense that they've had with this Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, that this storyline, and again, nothing against the match. I think the match is fine. But to have this TNA, and you remember the last time AJ went through this where it was a female involved, it's just so stupid. Can you remember the last time a title in the, by the way, WWE Championship in the middle of the card, when's the last time it's been this cold?
It is ice cold. And again, I think it's true when you look at, it's in the middle of the card. When's the last time your WWE champion, AJ Styles, has main evented a pay-per-view? I'm telling you, I'm going to have a real problem, Jonathan, if we go to Hell in a Cell and that Joe-AJ match is not the main event, because it's really going to discredit that WWE championship. I think right now you can make a case that the Intercontinental Championship is more prestigious in the eyes of the WWE than that WWE championship. In my eyes, it's still that championship. In my eyes, it's AJ Styles that's the centerpiece. I just don't believe it's in the eyes of the WWE.
I think the answer to the question might be when CM Punk had the title. I think he was opening cards, wasn't he? It's a WWE champion. It's brutal.
It's brutal, and something needs to happen, because I'm with you. That WWE championship should be the one that's the most prestigious in that company right now.
Ask Bully. Ask Mark Henry that question. Ask him why is the WWE title so cold? How is it that the some of these other championships more prestigious? The NWA titles got more juice than the WWE title. Right or wrong?
Right now, 100%. Right now, 100%. Just the way that's being perceived, it's not even close.
That's not good. Well, I'm enjoying the show. We want you to enjoy the show as well. SiriusXM's Fight Nation, Channel 93. Again, 8 to 11 Central Time. In the morning, you can hear Dave LaGreca and friends. It might be a Bully Ray. It might be a Mark Henry. It might be the coach on your show as well. Poor coach.
Or Tommy Dreamer. It could be Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer is always quality. Tommy Dreamer, who sits next to you and doesn't want to promote his own stuff. Like, you're the face of
That's
House
of
Hardcore. Of
him.
3 hours on the air doesn't want to talk about House of Hardcore. Come on, Tommy. Pump your product, for God's sakes.
I agree, man. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, I have to say this really, really quick before you let me go.
Yes.
You'd appreciate it. Of all the people that I saw over the weekend, I finally did it. I never had the opportunity, but Mark introduced me to Michael Hayes, and I was in heaven on Saturday night. So.
Wow. Doot. There he was. How was he dressed? Yeah. Was he dressed like a chandelier? What did he look
like? Yes, he was. Just like a chandelier. It's the best way to describe it.
Grandma's chandelier with the hat and the different clothes. Oh, I love Michael Hayes. That's great, man.
He's the best.
Got to get him on the show. Yeah, have a Michael Hayes on the show.
I believe me, I was pitching it. We'll see. He said he yes me to death, but we'll see if we get him on.
Okay, well, that's great, man.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, my friend.
That is a bucket list right there. Michael Hayes, old world-class stories. Old UWF stories. That just great, man. Well, we're in a good spot here with the way wrestling's going right now all across the landscape. You're covering it all on Busted Open. I enjoyed, and as always, I appreciate you coming on the program.
Jonathan, I love coming on, man. I really appreciate it, and hopefully I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Starcast, yes. Let's do it, man.
All right, I'll see you in Chicago, my friend. You get me some deep dish pizza.
And Schlitz. I'll give you some Schlitz too.
Yeah, please, I'm dying for a Schlitz.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate it, man.
Great conversation with Dave LaGreca from Busted Open, our friend here on Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday. And don't forget, this week I'm working with Carmen DeFalco from 12 to 2. So the week of the 20th of August, I'm working with Carmen DeFalco. We're having a fun time as I sit in for John Yurkovich on the Carmen and Yurko show. And again, hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Love to get your feedback on what happened over the weekend with NXT and also with SummerSlam. As I mentioned before, a terrific card for NXT and for the WWE, I thought. Also, Monday Night Raw, very good as well that Monday. Still confused about what's going on with the Shield, but we'll talk about it in the future weeks. The executive producer of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday is Felix Reyes, and I will talk to you next time with another edition of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday.